This is part three of supernatural healing. So I, without a doubt, I believe that we're on the way to seeing some miraculous healings today and this week. So who's been doing their homework over the last few weeks? Wonderful. And I want to remind you that in the Word, it's all about an enemy. So it's interesting that, and a lot of people don't understand this, and you think, well, how come God has left the devil in existence? Why didn't he wipe him out? Well, he'll answer that for us at some stage. And it's not because he needs the devil to test and try us. You know, there's many Christians think that that's what the devil's there, is to test and try you. But I can tell you now that the devil is not, God does not use him at all. And it'd be the same as, you know, if we're going to have a barbecue today and we put our nice steaks out on the table and we say to the, you know, and we've got a big dog next door called Yoda. And if I said to Yoda, hey, I want you to guard that meat for us today while we go and do some stuff. I don't think the meat's going to last long. But that's exactly like saying that Satan has been used by God to correct the church. It's in his nature to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not in his nature to purify the church. It's not in his nature to cause you to be a better Christian. So for people to say that he's there to try you and to make you perfect, no, it's absolutely incorrect. Right, he's only there to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what John 10:10 says. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He's only going to come to get the meat. That's what he's going to do. First thing, he's going to steal your meat. Going to steal your stuff. That's what he does. So you have to know by now that Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy everything you had. So it's high time that you go on the offensive and fight back with your faith. You know, you see all these movies, and you've seen them where the Jews are just going down in the Second World War and just like sheep to be slaughtered. If they knew their God, they wouldn't have done that. See, they were just following, being humble, and that's a lot of Christians, I believe, miss their calling and miss God's, you know, plan for their life because they don't want to fight back. But I can tell you that the whole gospel is about fighting. It really is. And I'll show you how much it is today. So Matthew 8 and verse 16 says this in the New Living Translation. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command and healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." So if Jesus took our sicknesses and removed our diseases, why are we putting up with the things that Satan throws at us? Why are we putting up with it? You know, Romans 5 and verse 17 says this, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign through life, in life through one, Jesus Christ." So we know that sin entered the world by one man, Adam. So we know that through Adam's transgression, sin entered the world. Up to that point, there was no sin. He was in the garden and he was doing what God had asked him to do, to tend the garden, to take it and reproduce it, to tend it. So up to that point, there was no sin. But it came in. So how did sickness and disease enter the world? Anyone want to answer that?
Yeah.
Through sin. Through Adam's transgression. So when sin came in, its cousin, sickness and disease, came in as well. It was a package deal. Sin is the doorway for sickness and disease. The same author of sin is the same author of sickness and disease. Same person. It's got his fingerprints all over it. If you see sickness and disease, you know the fingerprints, the designer of that is Satan. And he came with a curse. So how did death come into the world? Through sin, through sickness. The same person that had his fingerprints all over sin and disease brought death. And so we said last week that Adam, it took him 946 years to die. But death reigned. And death came by the curse. Sin came by the curse. Sickness and disease came by the curse. So the reason why people are sick today is because of Adam's transgression. He let the dog in. He let the dog in the garden. He let Satan in the garden. He let that in. And Jesus, we know, came to destroy the works of the enemy. So Matthew 19, verse 25 says this, when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. See, when we get an understanding of Revelation, it's maybe impossible with man, but with God, everything is impossible. All things, there's nothing that's impossible with God. I don't care how bad and how terrible the situation looks, nothing is impossible. There's nothing impossible in your life for God to touch it. I don't care how big the debt is. I don't care how big the sickness is. I don't care how big the problem is. Nothing, no thing is impossible for God. You know, we want to talk about supernatural healing today. And we've got to realize that, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Let's go to Matthew 8 and verse 1. Matthew 8 and verse 1. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation here, and I've got it on the screen as well. And it said, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Now, I've got it on the screen there, a leprous man. Now, if you looked at that and I looked at that, you'd say, this is impossible. I mean, very impossible. Here's a person that's got leprosy and you can see it in his face. Some people are missing parts of their face. Now, you go to the doctor and today they would have to amputate. They'd have to cut away all that bad, rotten flesh. And then that person would be left with no arm, no leg, half a face, in the hope that they got the disease. But they would never be able to get rid of it. It would just come back. It's like a cancer coming back again. This is leprosy. So he knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. If you're willing. Jesus, verse 3, reached out and touched him. Now, so Jesus reached out and touched that man, full of leprosy. I am willing, he said. Be healed, and instantly the leprosy disappeared. Instantly it disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you and take along an offering required by the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. So this leper was actually different from other lepers because he'd actually heard about Jesus and that Jesus was healing people. He heard that there was somebody who was doing the impossible. That's what he heard. So when he heard that, faith came. Has faith come? By hearing. So faith can come to somebody by hearing what I'm saying, but can come by what you're saying. If you go to somebody and say, Jesus can heal you, faith can come. Jesus can solve that issue, faith can come. Jesus can restore and can cover that debt. Faith can come. comes in the name of Jesus. And that's where it comes. Just wait for a minute. So somebody told him that Jesus could heal him. But that's no different today. So for this leper to be near a clean person, it was illegal. You have to realize that there was no cure for leprosy. So what they would do if you had leprosy, you were banned from the population. You moved outside the city wall. You moved to a place where people could drop scraps of food over the wall, and you could come and get that to try and survive and live until the disease got you and killed you. So it was like no better than pigs surviving. You were just given the rubbish to eat off. And that was a terrible situation. It was a death sentence. If you had leprosy, you had a death sentence. You would die slowly, painfully, and embarrassed. So there was great embarrassment with this because it was a disgrace for somebody in your family to have leprosy. It was like, what have you done wrong? What's the curse on your family that you have now got leprosy? It was like a curse, and it was a curse. And the curse came from no one else but Satan himself. And he came on the innocent. He came upon anyone. See, there was no help for this man in the natural. It was impossible. But thank the Lord that nothing is impossible for God. Then the man cried out, Lord, the man said, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. He knew that there was a man that had the ability, had the knowledge of God to make somebody whole. See, that's what it is. We need the knowledge of God to make somebody whole. Jesus said, I can heal you. It's interesting. Jesus also said, I can do nothing by my own. I can only do the works I see the Father doing. So he could see the Father in operation, and he would just declare. And that said, with a word, he cast out the spirits. With a word, he healed the sick. See, if you get back to what the power is in your words. With your words, you'll change the situation. If you agree with the situation, you're not going to change it. If you agree with the lack of finances, you'll never change it. If you agree with the sickness, you'll never change it. You have to agree with the Word of God that says, by His stripes, I am whole. You've got to agree with God's Word. And it's with your words that you say these things. Do you think that Jesus is willing to heal us if we ask Him? And the trouble is that we don't come to Him and ask. We'd rather go to the doctor and ask him for some medicine, because that's easier to deal with. It's so much easier to go up and wait in the waiting room. Wait with all the other people. And go to the doctor and let the doctor tell you, well, I think you're sick. Maybe try this aspirin or try this. And it's just all a Band-Aid. When we've got somebody who is, his name is Jesus. His name is Jehovah Rapha, which is translated, I am the Lord your physician. I am the Lord that heals you. See, Jesus actually wants to be our healer. That's his desire. He wants to be our healer. He knows that we live in a world where the enemy is coming around with all sorts of diseases, all sorts of sicknesses, and he throws them on us all the time, and he says, I am the Lord your healer. I want to heal you. You just got to reach out. You just got to use my words, and I will heal you and cleanse you of all your diseases. See, Matthew 8 and verse 5. And I think I mentioned this at the end of the message last week, but we're going to touch on this one. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Now, I researched this. And I researched what condition this man was probably in. And it was probably a disease called gastroparesis. So when you research the symptoms, you can find out what the disease is. And it's a disease of the muscles of the stomach or the nerves that control the stomach, and it causes the muscles to stop working in the stomach. And so what happens, it is crippling pain in the stomach, and it paralyzes the person, and they just writhe with pain continually, and there's no reversible cure. Gastroparesis rarely resolves. In fact, it may become worse in time. And this disease is particularly difficult to treat, and especially when it's accompanied with motility disorders of the muscles and the small intestines. So what's happening in the stomach? Nothing is working. And nothing is working, and it's getting worse and worse. And it must have been such a bad thing that this servant was writhing in pain and nearly dying. And the centurion goes to Jesus. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. So when the officer pleaded, Jesus responds, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come into my house or to my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. If I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to all who followed him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you have believed this will happen. And the young servant was healed the same hour. The same hour. That was impossible. It was impossible. Even impossible, more impossible was to think that Jesus would heal him based on what he said. Now, most people could have understand he's the healer if he comes and lay hands on a person. There's something supernatural happens there. But here, Jesus showed us that it's not the touch, it's the word that does the healing. So you've got to get in your mind, it's not the touch, it's the word that heals. And it proved it. So let's look at Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. You've got to believe what you say. When you say, you'll receive it. You have to believe it. So I want to talk about the spirit of infirmity. The spirit of infirmity. So what is the spirit of infirmity? Big mystery.
Infirmity.
But there is a spirit of infirmity.
Yeah, but isn't it anything that's unclean? It can be sickness, it can be your conscience, it can be your feelings, your emotions, your patterns.
Okay, what it is, it's the demonic throwing things at you to make you stop doing what you're doing. It's a spirit of infirmity coming with these things. I want to show you what Paul describes it as. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 40 stripes will kill a person. If you're whipped 40 times, you're dead. What that does, that opens up your the organ of your skin so much, you'll die. So they knew that the Romans were very, very smart in this area. They know that 39 stripes, you would still live. It'll take a long time for you to recover. But that would just be just shy of killing you.
Do you think they were leaving that for Jesus as well? Because Jesus was 40 times.
I don't know why that did, but yeah, it could be quite possible. So he received it five times. Five times. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day in the deep. That's pretty awesome. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleepless often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. This was a spirit of infirmity, bringing all these issues. For most of us, we would have given up after the first beating. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who's made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things concerning my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. See, this was a spirit of infirmity that was coming upon him. And the spirit of infirmity is demonic-controlled weakness or sickness assigned to someone to attend to make them powerless. So it was a coming assigned by Satan, not assigned by God. See, some people have read that scripture and said, this was a sign by God to keep him humble. No, not at all. Not at all. This was a sign by Satan to kill him, to steal and destroy. It was a sign by that. Luke 13, verse 10. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could not in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, you're loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. See, in God's words translation, it says, a woman who was possessed by a spirit was there, and the spirit had disabled her for 18 years, she was hunched over and could not stand up straight. This was a spirit of infirmity. And the Bible gives us the story about this woman whose past and present had no distinction. It was the same. Her past and her present was terrible. 18 years she had a spirit of infirmity. For 18 long years, she existed day to day just trying to make it. Each day of her life simply blended into the next. It seemed as though she'd been that way forever, and she'd remain that way until life on earth had finished. That was her future. That was her past. It was like the long goodbye in her life. Bent over, couldn't even straighten up. I don't know. I'd worked in Lambton Colliery for about 5 years, and in one of those sections, which came right under Gateshead, one section went under the ocean, one went up into Gateshead area, and at that area, the seam was so small. the cars they would have there to get the coal out, they would take everything off those cars, and so it was bare bones cars. And to walk around, you had to be bent over like this to get through the seam. And after an hour, you'd have to sit down. It was just terrible. It was so draining on your body to walk around in that low seam. But can you imagine what this woman was like? She was bent over for 18 years with a spirit of infirmity. 18 years of suffering. You know, due to the physical deformity of her misshapen back, some of the muscles were weak and useless, while others were overdeveloped in order to carry her body that was twisted and bent down. So she was a mess. She resigned herself long ago not to fight against her infirmity, just to put up with it, simply accepting that it was her lot in life. She believed that to fight it would only lead to more pain and frustration. Many times she'd probably ask herself the question, why should tomorrow be any different? Why should this, you know? Even though the woman was right there in plain sight of Lord Jesus, the divine anointed healer, she didn't bother to seek healing from him. She was in the same place. She didn't ask him, like the leper did, you know, heal me. She was content to sit there. She made no move to come forward and ask to be set free from her deformity. She simply held back amongst the crowd and probably secretly hoping not to go unnoticed, not to be noticed at all in her situation. She was content to stay with that spirit of infirmity. You know, but Jesus knew all along how this woman's pain would have been so excruciating for 18 years. He knew her sorrow. He knew her shame and hopelessness. Perhaps he looked over the massive crowds and actually recognized the spirit of infirmity that was there. The Bible doesn't tell us, but for some reason, he called a forth. For some reason, he said, I want you to come down here. There was a point that she had to get over that embarrassment. Get over that. And it's interesting that it wasn't her. He didn't put an altar call and said, is there anyone here with a spirit of infirmity? No. He just recognized there was a spirit of infirmity. And he called her out. The scripture, you know, we know it was a spirit because scripture says that. It was a spirit of infirmity. And at the sight of her being bent and deformed framed, perhaps Jesus said to himself, this has gone on long enough. But the Bible tells us in Luke 13, and I'm going to read this from the NIV version. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who was crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And he put his hand on her, and immediately she was straightened up. So there was two things. First, he had to deal with the spirit. He said, first of all, you're set free from your infirmity. Spirit, you're gone. And the next thing, he healed her body. He had to heal her body. Then the woman was immediately set free from the bonds of Satan and from the physical handicap. And she was healed. No longer was she was going to be dominated by her condition, which also threatened her future. She had no future, absolutely no future at all. She wouldn't be able to have a relationship with people. She wouldn't be able to communicate to people. It was stifling, it was killing her. At last she was set free. She undoubtedly walked out of the synagogue feeling as if she'd walked out of prison. Undoubtedly. And as she was doing that, she could at last hold her head up high, but still in humility, because she knew that it was not her doing. It was that the Savior Jesus recognized that and cast that out. And she began to make her boast to the Lord. And the scripture says that because it says in verse 13, she straightened up and praised God. She praised God. She straightened up and praised God. You know, Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. I want to bring this one here. And in verse 24 it says, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So Jesus was on the way to Jairus' house, who was the religious leader. And he was on the way to heal his dying daughter. He was on the way to heal. And there was a multitude that was following him, and they thronged him. That means that they were all jostling for position. Who could get closer to Jesus? They knew that he had the Spirit and the presence of God all over him. They wanted to get close to him. And verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. And verse 27, and she heard. Now I've actually put this up for you. I've actually gone and researched it for you. And the word heard is the Hebrew word, which is akuyu, which is to hear in various senses, give audience, be noised, be reported, and understand. So she'd heard. She actually researched it to a place that not only did she hear it, she meditated to a place where she understood. So when she heard about Jesus, she probably asked this person, what's this about Jesus? Who is he? What's he been doing? Has he been healing people? How is that based? Is that anywhere in the scriptures that we can go and research? She got to a place where she understood who Jesus was. So not only did she hear, and faith came, every time she asked the question, faith come. First it was like a hope. I wonder if I could be healed. I wonder. And then she researched it more. And she meditated more until the place where she was convinced that she would be healed. And it says, and she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And verse 28, for she said, which is that word said is from the Hebrew, lego, which means properly to lay forth. That means to get what you're saying in order. So what did she say? If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So she made the point of contact what she confessed. If only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She'd laid this out. She knew what she was saying. And it got the inclination that she didn't say it once. She said it over and over again. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. That's what she said. She knew. She'd researched that he was a healer. She researched that she could be made whole. And now she put her faith out in what she said. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Where did the affliction come from? Satan. It came from the one who afflicts. And Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? So this was completely independent of Jesus. Jesus did not even know who it was. He just knew all of a sudden he was on the way to Jairus' house. People were touching him and jostling him everywhere, but somebody made a withdrawal on power that was in his body. Who touched me? He looked around to see who had done this thing, but the woman fearing and trembling. Sorry, the disciples said before that, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? That they were bewildered by this statement because they knew that they were the bodyguards and they were trying to protect him, and everyone was pushing and shoving and trying to get a hand on him somewhere. And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. What did she tell him? She told him, for 12 years, I've had this affliction on me. She told him all these things that had happened to her, the whole truth. He was on the way to Jairus' house to heal his dying daughter. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, and be healed of your affliction." See, I want to break this down to show you what was really happening here. And this was the condition of her health. Their diagnosis, the Bible says that she had an issue of blood. This means that she was hemorrhaging from some place in her body all the time. For 12 years, she was continually hemorrhaging. She was bleeding. Whatever the source of her bleeding was, it was a condition that literally ruined her life. See, under the Levitical law, and you find that in Leviticus 19, 25 to 27, this woman was to be considered unclean. It was like the curse of leprosy. Right? She could not come into contact with other people. She was considered unclean. Anything or anyone that she touched was also considered to be unclean. So if you touched her, even just touched her, you were also called unclean. So you can imagine, people would have moved out of the way. And she had to go around telling unclean. Can you imagine the shame of that? Of you had to go and everyone who came near you, "I'm unclean, unclean." So everyone steps back. HIV, that's what you'd have to say. Same thing. And this is a 12-year curse on her life. So as a result, she could not mingle with people or be in public, lest she cause them to be defiled. She could not go to the woman's court of the temple because she was unclean. She could not get married because she would have defiled her husband. If she had ever been married, her husband would have had to be separated from her. It was the law. If she had children, we don't know. She could never see them. See, the curse keeps working and keeps working and keeps working. She could not work around others because of the danger of defilement. This reduced her life to begging for scraps of food from a distance. And this condition left her on the fringe of society. The duration, we know that she'd had this plague or this condition for 12 years. And given the span of the average lifespan of a person that day, her condition had begun probably just after puberty, I'd say. Just after puberty. And therefore, most of her adult life, she was an outcast. She was an outcast there. And it would have been a continual period every day for the last 12 years. That's 4,272 days of bleeding. 272 days of cramping. 4,272 days of trying to wear some sort of protection that wouldn't bring too much embarrassment or to her. You can imagine that's a curse.
Loss of waste.
Yep. The discomfort. We're told that she had tried all sorts of remedies of all the physicians of her day. We're told that she suffered under their care. And this is interesting. I looked at this. Rabbi Jochan says, this is the remedy for this sort of thing. I want you to listen to a man's remedy. Take of gum Alexandria, of alum, and of crocus hortensis, the weight of ZZ each, which I don't know how much that is. Let them be bruised together and given in wine to the woman that hath an issue of blood. But if this fail, take of Persian onions 9 logs, Boil them in wine and give it to her to drink, and say, arise from thy flux. But this should fail. Set her in a place where two ways meet, and let her hold a cup of wine in one hand, and let somebody come up behind her and affright her. Say, boo. And say, arise from thy flux. But if this should not, if this should do no good, take a handful of cumin and a handful of crocus and a handful of something other Greek, and let them be boiled and give her to drink and say, arise from the flux. But this should not also should fail. Dig seven trenches and burn in them some cuttings of vines that not yet circumcised, or vines that are not 4 years old, and let her take in her hand a cup of wine, and let her be led from the trench, these trench, and set down over that, and let her be removed from that, and set down under another. And each removal say to her, arise from thy flux. The only thing I think is okay, she at least she's had a few wines. This is how impossible it was to fix this sort of situation. This is what man had dreamed up, to try and cure somebody of this. So the damage, she'd said it's, she had spent all her money seeking the cure, and nothing was left to sustain her life. She spent all. I don't know whether she was wealthy at one stage. It seems to indicate that she had money to do that. But she'd said she spent everything. The danger of this, despite her efforts of those of her and those doctors, her condition just continued to get worse. I mean, it was now a tap. This was, if it got worse, it's increasing. I don't know what they've done to her, but whatever they've done has made it get worse. Her life was literally draining out of her. Her body day by day, she was getting weaker, and her end was in sight. And verse 20, it says, when she heard, to hear in various senses, to give audience, be noised, be reported, understand about Jesus. We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So faith came to her. And she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment and said, properly laying forth, if only I can touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Immediately, found of her body was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. So straight away, strength came. It wasn't just a Band-Aid, okay, we're going to turn the tap off. Immediately, she felt that she was, strength came. It was a total healing. And we know that Jesus, immediately knowing that power had gone out, said, who touched me? And then the last thing he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Be healed of your affliction. See, these we've shown here that there was two cases, or three cases, that it was somebody else's faith. There was one case where Jesus just exercised a faith over the spirit of infirmity. The other cases, it was people. Faith came into their hearts and they said, I'm going to have my healing. I'm going to have that. See, maybe you've got an embarrassing, you know, condition or a sickness that has been persisting and you've just been putting up with it. And that's what I find so many times, that people just put up with this little issue. They put up with that issue because it's not that bad. We can get around, we can take the Panadol every now and then, we can do this, we can do that. And gets to a place where it just gets particularly worse. It grows worse and grows worse. And we've put up with it so long, and it's like, well, we're used to that now. And everyone around you is used to it as well. And they tiptoe around the issue. They know what you're putting up with. But if you're able to bear it, so can they. And Jesus says, why have you waited these 18 years? Why have you waited so long? Why haven't you called out? And it's time for us to declare, to understand what it is that you need to do and declare that you're whole. Why wait any longer? You know, this morning, if you just reach out with faith, Jesus will heal. We talked about the leper, impossible. We talked about the woman, impossible. And both times, they just knew that Jesus would heal them. Don't wait any longer if you want healing. It's available today. I'm going to stand and pray with you if that's the case. Hey, let's stand together.